Let us pray together. In the wonderment of his name, in the joy of being able to speak it and know that he is with us, and in the power of the Holy Spirit that was sent to us, let us now worship you with all that we are. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Hymn number 575, Onward Christian Soldiers. Let us sing like we mean it. 575.
People, join our happy throne. until Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. When the cross of Jesus
I'd ask that you would take it just a moment and that you would bow in silent prayer, preparing your hearts for a confession and pardon that we will read on page 8. Just a moment of silence as we prepare ourselves for it. And now on page 8, our confession and pardon, let us join together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We'd ask that you would join us in the time of silent prayer and then the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. As we come into our time of pastoral prayer, sorry, not the Lord's Prayer, we'll do it at communion, silent prayer and pastoral prayer. As we come into the time of pastoral prayer, if I give you an opportunity to raise people's names up in prayer, feel free to do that, using their first name only, if you don't mind. Let us pray together. We come to your house of worship this day at a time in the history of our world that things seem so unsettled. There are wars that are happening that aren't just rumors of wars, but there are wars that are happening at this very moment. And they are around our globe, not just in one place. And there's pain wrapped up in that. There's refugees wrapped up in that time of war. There is all different places and things that are harmful. There are people seeking just food to eat and water to drink. And we, O Lord, need to be thankful as we come here to be able to sit in this sanctuary and to feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and to know that you are with us and you guide us and that you give us hope and you give us strength. And we have the privilege of being here without being afraid of worshiping together. We come to this place knowing that within the streets of our cities and our communities, there is pain within our families. There is struggle of sickness that we need healing for, and that healing is of mind, body, and soul. We need healing in all places. And we seek your will, and we ask you, Lord, to heal us if you are willing. And we are simply waiting on that word that says you are willing, because your ability to do so is without question. We just need your healing. So in the midst of that, O Lord, we ask you to allow us to raise people's names that need that healing. Praying, O Lord, for my very family that has dealt with COVID this week, that you would be with each of us and that we would find your healing upon us. Amen. Oh, Lord, we pray for Wanda and for Jonathan that they would heal. We would pray for families who have lost loved ones, that they would heal in their spirit. And we pray, oh Lord, for members of the families of the other two churches that I had the privilege of being with, that you would heal them and be with them. So we pray, Lord, that you would hear our prayer and that we would find mercy in that healing. Now bless us, oh Lord, as a church. Give us power and let us be empowered. Give us love and let us find love. And let us go have hope and give away hope. In the midst of all that, let us find the peace within our soul. Now we thank you for this day and for answered prayers even before they are answered. May we be in your grace and in your peace. And we pray this prayer in the name of the one who died on the cross and rose again the third day. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. If you're able, if you would stand and sing, Fill My Cup, Lord. It's page 641 in your hymn book, and you will find it on the screen. 641. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Let us pray together. The gift is yours. The power is yours. The very breath that we breathe is yours. So what do we give back? We give ourselves back. Let us do so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. It is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 31 through 32. Let us hear God's word. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. A place of rest is there for the birds when the tree is grown. But it must get there first. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I guess I have spoken from this scripture 100 times over the last 40 years. Have you ever thought about that? For those of us, the preachers who have been preaching 40 years or so, 52 times a week, that's a lot of sermons. Then for those of us who speak 2, 3, or 4 times every Sunday, it becomes a whole lot of sermons. For those of us who have done that, and I've done that from my first church forward, where we had 4 churches. Now think about that, and how many times we've spoke from the scripture. And I always dwell on the tree after it has grown. We measure from the mustard seed to the final product, and we always get into the conversation about a resting place, a place that God has given us that we've grown into. Funny thing about this mustard seed, though, it's trying to get across to us a couple of things that we typically always preach on. The small size of the seed and the smallest size of the bush that becomes a tree. And yet the one thing we seem to always forget, that the parable really isn't about the beginning or the ending product. It's about how you start and what you do to get to the ending product. Birds don't have a place to rest if there is no growth. There is no peace within our souls if we as Christians don't grow to a place that we can find that peace. We stay in the encounter of turmoil. And how many of us live our days in the encounter of turmoil? How many of us spend our time upset or struggling or not feeling complete or not at a place that somebody can come and find peace with us because we can't find peace ourselves? We don't have enough peace to have the shade of peace so somebody can come and rest because we're still trying to find that. Well, see, it takes growth to find it. We used to have gardens all the time. I like gardens. I may not know anything about growing wine bushes, grape bushes, vines, but I can plant corn. I can grow green beans, even though I don't like them. I can put out 2 squash plants and have enough squash for the whole world just about. Seems like I plant a squash, put 2 squash plants out thinking we won't have enough. I end up trying to give it away to every neighbor that's in the neighborhood because it just keeps producing squash. It's okay, I like squash. Just don't like green beans. I can't grow a tomato. It's a good thing that Grace is the only one in our family that really likes tomatoes because I can't grow tomatoes. You put them out, you put them in the ground, they come up, they look nice, they put it around it so it has a place to be staked out, do all the things you're supposed to do, they grow, they turn green, they die. What did I do? Wrong fertilizer. Put in the wrong place. Not enough sun. Too much sun. Squash plants, you put them in the ground. They grow. I can grow pumpkins too. You ever try to harvest pumpkins and squash out of the same patch as they've overlapped each other? It really can be exciting. We can do that. All things that grow will have commonalities. Now, I want you to listen to this first one because it's so easy and so common that you think, well, yeah, but it's something we don't think about. You got to plant it for it to grow. Anybody here disagree with me on that? Don't you have to plant it to grow? I'm afraid the church has quit planting. And I say that because church I grew up in, and I'm sure it was here like this here at one point. Church I grew up in, when you got to be a certain age, like 4 or 5, you got a mentor. Wasn't your parents, it was a trusted member of the church. And the mentor walked with you from the time you were a certain age all the way through graduation in high school. Mr. Van was my mentor. I remember him to this day. I remember walking with him. I remember him coming and taking me to ice cream. I remember him taking me out to dinner. I remember him being at football practice. I remember him walking with me and being part of our family. He planted me along with my mom and dad. Mom and dad and he didn't always agree theologically, but they always agreed on Jesus. And that was good for me because I got to listen to different points of views and my parents was okay with that. Got to be a person who listened and got to be matured. See, when I plant a garden, I don't know if y'all this way or not, but when I plant something, I have this need. I'll plant it, I'll water it, I'll weed around it, I do all those things, but here's my need. This is how my plants in the garden make me feel good. I like to go out and I watch until the little plant breaks through the ground. It's to me like birth. I stand there and watch it break through the ground and I go, yes. And then I'll go, now I planted this many seeds. So I start watching for it all to come through the ground. I stand there above them and I look and I go out every day, sometimes 3 or 4 times a day, and I want to watch that plant grow. And I stand beside it and I make sure the weeds are out. And I know there's a scripture about planting wheat and weeds together and letting them grow together, but it's not this scripture. This is this mustard seed. And I watch them grow. And as they grow, I weed and I water and I give. And I watch them grow and I weed and I water and they grow and they grow. Unless they're tomatoes and they grow and they die. And so there's something wrong there. And so you walk through there and there's this sense of the pride of watching someone, something grow. Well, Jesus is trying to tell them about growth. Things should never be static. They should never be still. I believe that as human beings, and especially as Christians, the moment we quit growing, we die. We may walk around and be physically alive, but we're like dry bones in Ezekiel, waiting on the Spirit to come and fill us so our bones move. That if we quit learning, if we know it all, and at that moment we die. Because you can't refresh yourself, you can't grow. If you can't go from a seed, notice the scripture the way it does it, to a shrub, to a tree. It doesn't go from the seed to the tree, it goes from the seed to the shrub to the tree. It grows and matures in stages. Children do that. Marilyn and I have a belief in our children that our job is to raise them and let them go. You ever been that way? Let them go. Some of us try to hold on to them. We want them to be under our control. Well, I got a secret for you. Number one, they never were under your control. And secondly, understand completely, they never will be. But if you don't set things free, they can't grow. There comes a time with the bush, there comes a time with the tree that it gets to blow and blossom and become what it wants to be fully, and it always becomes what it was meant to be if we let it. Remember the gardener that wanted to cut the tree down because it wasn't producing fruit, or the owner wanted to cut the tree down because it wasn't producing fruit, and the gardener said, let me put manure around it one more year. If it doesn't do it then we'll cut it down. Some things have to be tended longer than others. Some people mature faster than others. I know some really mature 14-year-olds, and I know some really immature 30-year-olds. They grow differently, they act differently, but they have to grow. And for them to grow, there comes a time when we have to quit treating them like seedlings and let them be full bushes and full-grown trees. We have to allow them to mature into that place and become who they were meant to be. The mustard seed, unless I read the scripture wrong, never grows into an apple tree. It just never does. We may try to make it one of those. We may try to cause it to be like that. And our children may act like us sometimes, and usually they take on the worst parts of us, not the best, but they may act like us sometimes, but they're never going to be us. They're going to grow to be them. And we can't control it. I'm not asking for testimony, but I would almost guess that most of us did not grow up to be what our parents envisioned for us. I may have, and I know I have said this to y'all, but I'll say it again. My dad intended for me to be a carpenter. He was a carpenter. His daddy before him was a railroad man, but also a carpenter. His daddy for him was a carpenter. That's who they intended for me to be. At age 14, I was out on one of his jobs with him, and he was putting in a set of cabinets. And in a very specific place, that a nail had to be put in a very specific spot, and it had to go in, wait for it, straight. And on my fifth attempt to put that nail in straight, this is before they had the little guns, you actually used a hammer and a nail. On my fifth attempt to put it in straight, my dear sweet daddy leaned over to me and said, "Son, we need to find you another craft because this isn't yours." He ceased at that day to quit making me a carpenter. Do I know how to build some things? I do. Can I put things together as long as you aren't worried about them being level? I can. But I highly invite you not to invite me to your house to put things back together where you want them, because they'll go together, but they'll be missing parts and they won't be level. That's the way it is. So he let me become who God intended me to become, and I thought that was a welder. I was actually good at that. But on the day that we were at Cumberland Case, where I worked, and we were doing the post office contract, and we were trying to meet the goal to get done so we could make a bonus. It was 105 outside. It was 119 in the building. And I have no positive way to tell you this for sure, but it felt like it was 215 inside of that helmet when I was welding. I'm sure it wasn't, but felt like it. I heard this still small voice saying, "Is this really what you want to do the rest of your life? Don't you think you ought to go to school and be what I want you to be?" Well, frankly, I could have been convinced to go and become anything pretty much in that condition, but I listened and went. And my life changed. There's not a public speaker in my family but me. Children may be, not adults. Till my cousin Diane came along, and that's another conversation because she's fabulous at public speaking. But think of the process of this. Becoming the shrub and tree. It's the growth that we need. So it really is fun to ask, did you grow up to be what God intended you to be? Not what your mama wanted or your daddy wanted. They're fine people, I'm sure. Did you hear that small voice? Or in some cases, that big voice, because we don't listen well to small voices. Or as my dear spouse says, I don't take hints well. Just say it. Did we grow? And then to add the caveat to it, at the very end of this, have you stopped growing? Because if you have, you died. And you're back to Ezekiel again. Are we still growing? But I have a secret for you, and it's not much of a secret because everybody should know it, but I don't think everybody does. You never grow numerically or any other way till you learn to grow spiritually. That comes first. It always has. It's not different. If you want to see a story about somebody growing spiritually, go read the crucifixion story and follow Peter. And watch him after he denies Christ and he looks up and sees Jesus. If you want to see spiritual growth that sometimes is very painful, watch him. And I've always wondered what Peter thought would happen to him that first time he met Jesus after resurrection and knew it happened and Jesus comes in the room. Don't you ever wonder what he thinks Jesus is going to say? You get a hint at it when you get out to the lake shore and Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, do you love me? Notice what he never asked. He asked Peter three times if he loves him. Guess what he never asked? He never asked any question about does Jesus love him. That never changed. So see, you are a people. We are a people who is loved by God in the midst of our sins, who died for us before we were saved, who loves us at our worst moment and just wants us to grow and become the people God has called us to be. And you have a safety net. It's called grace. All for us. And all we have to do is be willing to grow. Wow. That's it. And you'll say, well, there's more to it than that. And the answer is, of course there is. But you don't know what the more is until you start to grow. God will show you. God really will. In case you don't know, God is not bashful. He's not afraid. God will speak out if we just listen. Now, friends, we are in Lent. We are moving towards Good Friday. So communion today is communion for early in Lent. You will be on page 15 or on the screen. I want you to do something for me in communion. Yes, we're celebrating the body and the blood. No question. But I want you to ask yourself a question and it involves what happened, what was discussed in the sermon. How much will you grow spiritually from the time we say the first word of the communion ritual to the last amen? And I don't care what age you are. I don't care how far you've progressed. I don't care about any of those things. I promise you something. You should grow during this. Your spirit should be filled if nothing else. So join with me in the great Thanksgiving for early Lent. I have poor George has learned to be communion savvy because, again, there's been COVID at our house. And while I didn't get it because I sprayed Listerine all over my body and Lysol all over my body to stay away from it, the girls have had it. So I'm staying away from handing y'all bread and juice just out of caution, if in other words. So I ask you to join me in this time of great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the water, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant Your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain he heard your still small voice. And so with the people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sins, your Spirit led him into the wilderness. When he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he prepared for his ministry. When he suffered and died on the cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presenting him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at the right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now when your people prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night which he gave himself for us, up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but forgive us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We'd ask that you would come as the ladies come down and prepare to give communion to you. Thank you. If you would stand with us and turn to page 593, singing, "Here I Am, Lord." Please let us grow in the Spirit of God as we sing.
Thank you.
our dismissal prayer. The hymn to be sung is Shalom. It's on an awful page number, 666. You will find it also on the screen. Sing it, and at the end of the prayer, and you sing it, we are dismissed. Now let us go in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ fill us. May we have learned something about ourselves or our growth. And what we learn, may we apply it to this week. Now may God's blessings be upon us, and may the communion of the Holy Spirit go with us. In the power of God, we give thanks. Amen.